Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Easy, innit?
Easy. Simple, straightforward. We're all doing it next weekend. Have we not told you?
I was going to say, there's a job here at the Formula Nerds if you want it afterwards.
Yeah.
Anytime.
The pay is crap, but the people are fun.
Cheers, Matt.
Yeah, they really sold it well there. Fantastic.
Speak to you after. Speak to you after the call about that one.
It's lights out and away we go!
Welcome along to the Cut to the Race podcast. I'm Ollie, and today we have some very, very special guests with us. But I'm going to let Emma do the introductions. Over to you.
Thanks, Ollie. I would like to give a very warm welcome to our special guests today. We have W Series drivers Sarah Moore and Abby Eating joining us. So welcome to the Formula Nerds Cut to the Race podcast, and thank you for joining us today. How are you both?
I'm all right. All good. All the better for seeing you guys.
Yeah, Emma, how did you organise this one? Because Emma, you kept this one really quiet, and you just said, "Oh, by the way, Ollie, I've got some guests for the show this week." I was like, "What?"
Well, I've known Sarah for quite a while. We go back about 5 years, I would say. I've lost count as well, but I think we met through my husband. He's got a lot of contacts in the motorsport industry, and he used to do a lot of karting, and he met Sarah through karting, and then I met Sarah through him. So we've known each other for quite some time, and I literally just messaged Abby on Instagram and asked if she would join us. So that's how I managed to get these two amazing people on the show today.
This is really, really good, and I've got to thank you girls so much for coming on, because we had a really nice review left on iTunes about this podcast, which was that we don't know anything about racing and we're not qualified to talk about it. So to the haters, today we are. So thank you for coming aboard, and hopefully you can share some knowledge with us.
Well, we're not, but they are. They're going to be our...
Oh, I didn't say that we are. No. We still are useless at this, but we've got two people today that can help us a little bit. Emma, I'm gonna hand it over to you, and let's talk motorsport.
Yeah. So I think our followers and our listeners of this podcast are massive, massive Formula One fans. They don't hugely know too much about W Series. So can you just introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background on the both of you, where you've come from, and you know, just a little bit about your careers.
I kind of started at a young age in the motorsport world. I started when I was 4 in go-karting, went kind of through the ranks of go-karting, and then transitioned into cars at the age of 14. I won the Ginetta Junior Championship, which is probably the highest class junior championship there is in the UK. And then from there, I've kind of gone down the GT route, endurance route, until kind of the W Series came about last year. And I thought I'd try my hand at some single-seater racing.
Yeah, so I have kind of similar background to Sarah. So started when I was 10 years old. My dad's always raced in bikes, carts, cars, anything. So I kind of grew up around motorsport. And after a couple of years of pestering, my dad got me a go-kart when I was 10. Did that for 4 years and then moved into cars. And this will be the end of my 18th year now. So similar to Sarah, kind of started off in tin top, so then moved into endurance, and haven't done single seater stuff yet. Was supposed to be obviously the first year in W Series this year, but it's been postponed to next year now. So yeah, got to wait a little bit longer for my first test, but excited for the challenge that lies ahead.
I've been following W Series since its inception back in 2018. And when they launched at Autosport in 2019, I was there, and it was just so great for its time, because over the past few years, there's been a huge focus on raising the profile of women in motorsport and really encouraging women and young girls who want a career in the industry to forge a path into it. And it certainly, W Series has been a huge catalyst of that. But tell us a bit about W Series for our followers and what it has aimed to achieve since its launch.
Again, Sarah, you can crack on.
Obviously, as everyone knows, it's an all-female championship, but I think the ultimate aim is just to raise the profile of women within motorsport. As I say to most people that ask that question, when I was growing up, I never had a female, from what I can remember, in the motorsport world to look up to. So I think for the younger generation of girls, whether they know about motorsport now or not, I just think for W Series to be here and present now will make such a big difference. You know, maybe not in the next 2-3 years, but maybe, you know, 8 to 10 years down the line, we'll hopefully see more of a 50-50 split of male to female.
So. Yeah, so a little bit more information with W Series as well. It's fully funded. So, you know, for, as we all know, motorsport is quite a difficult industry to get into. Especially to reach the top levels, you know, Formula One and stuff like that. There's a lot of money involved to reach those kind of pinnacles. So W Series wanted to basically make it easier for women to have these opportunities. So the series is completely funded, so you don't have to bring any budget to it. Your accommodation, your travel, that's all paid for as well. And then there's actually a prize fund at the end of it. So, you know, it's a pretty decent prize fund to win. So it's $1.5 million split throughout the full grid, which, yeah, is certainly something to look into, which is, you know, one of the reasons why I looked at it. You know, initially I was maybe against the idea, I was against the idea when it first came out. I was kind of worried that, you know, I've always raced against guys and girls, and yes, there isn't that many female in motorsport in general. But for me, that was never an issue. You know, motorsport was something that I wanted to do. I didn't need a female role model there to kind of prove it. But, you know, having sat back and watched the season develop over that first year, you know, the money that's been invested into it, the infrastructure that's around everyone, you know, and the level of talent actually that is on the grid, it's just all worked. And I think it's an amazing opportunity. So thankfully, they allowed me to come back and give it a go for the second year.
The cars that you drive are very similar to, they're essentially F3 cars, but they're all exactly the same. So it's a bit different in the sense that all the cars have got the exact same engine. They're all set up the exact same. And what it does is essentially it brings an 11 playing field, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. Obviously, having competed in the first year in it, I think that's also what kind of drew more females into it, and the fact that they realised how fair across the board that the cars were. You know, as drivers, we are limited as to what we can change on the car, which again helps to keep it fair. But what I think was one of the favourite thing last year for me as a driver was the fact that we changed car every weekend, and that kind of, you know, stopped all the rumours from saying that, you know, this car's better than that car and whatever. So, yeah, I think that was a really good choice.
So with the ultimate goal of trying to project a woman into a full-time race seat in Formula One, what do you think the challenges are to effectively reaching that goal?
I think it's a massive challenge whether you're a male or a female. You know, the main obvious thing is money. You know, I think that there was a survey that was done a few years ago that I think it was like, on average, you need to spend like 12 to 15 million before you actually get a sniff at Formula One. And, you know, the full Formula One grid, not everyone there is getting paid. You know, it's only a small percentage of those getting paid. So I think the main thing is money, you know, the finance behind to be able to do, you know, two years in each kind of, you know, feeder championship, if you like, work your way up, you know, F3 into F2 and so on. But that costs a lot of money. And, you know, as we all know, motorsport is kind of about networking and, it is a case of who you know as well, rather than what you know. But if you've got a big wedge of cash, then you make your way there, you know.
Yeah. So W Series have recently announced that they will be supporting 8 Formula One races in 2021 with a calendar that is yet to be announced. Now, we know the Circuit of the Americas and Mexico was announced for this season back in January, and I would imagine that they would still be on the calendar for next year, which leaves 6 races that we think will still need to be decided. So do you have a wish list of where you would like to race next year to support Formula One?
Yes, all the ones that don't clash with the other opportunity that I have next year. Because there's a lot of clashes.
Love that answer. I think that's the same for quite a few of us girls, to be fair. Yeah, a few of us have other opportunities to race, you know, other cars next year. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, I think we're all extremely excited to be part of the Formula One weekend. So
I can give you the list because I wrote it down the other day. When they were going to announce it, I was like, right, I'm going to write a list down and then I know which ones to be happy about. So the ones that I would like them to pick are Baku, Azerbaijan, France, Silverstone, obviously, because we've got to be in the UK. Spa, because I think Spa is amazing and also it doesn't clash. Zandvoort, because it doesn't clash. Monza, because it doesn't clash. And Russia. So that's my wish list. And then, obviously, you know, we have Texas and Mexico that's already been confirmed.
Do you have a wish list, Sarah?
I kind of put 2 and 2 together and kind of came up with a list that I think. So I think Barcelona will be a great place to start. Paul Ricard, Silverstone, like Abba said, because it's the home circuit. Hungary, Spa. I think Spa is probably one of the best circuits on the calendar. Followed by Monza, again, fantastic circuit. Home of Ferrari, obviously, that would be great. And then, yeah, like say, USA and Mexico. So yeah, they're my bets.
Are they the ones that you think are going to happen or the ones that you want to happen?
They're the ones that both. I think they're going to happen and I want them to happen. I all of those tracks I'd love to go to. So.
Can I ask a question just on Paul Ricard? Because that's quite openly not one of the fan favourites. Why is it both of you have said that one?
I think for me, I've definitely watched more GT and sports car racing than I have Formula racing. So yeah, I think just from that for me, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same response, I think.
I think my sort of list was roughly the same as Sarah's. I think we discussed it over Messenger, didn't we? And you kind of gave me your list and I said, I think that they will go to those races, but I kind of took out Paul Ricard and put in Zandvoort as well, because if Baitska is still racing in W Series next year, I think they'll definitely have a Dutch race, which I think will be amazing. But yeah, my sort of suggestions, I think, were fairly similar to Sarah's.
I don't want them to be. Even though they are the better tracks.
I don't want them to be the real clash. But, you
know. I don't want them to be. I've already got one clash.
my absolute favourite is Monza. So I mean, yeah. I raced at Monza in 2019, which was incredible to watch. So I really, really hope that you guys get to go race there again next year. But as part, obviously, of a support race for Formula One, I think the atmosphere will be absolutely incredible, especially if fans are allowed back at the circuits next year. I just think that's going to be phenomenal.
Definitely, and I think that's reason for me why Silverstone has to be on there for the W Series. I think that will be obviously the highlight of the year. So
you've sort of answered a question I had already, which was, you know, Spa, Hockenheim, Silverstone, all of these are classic, in Monza, classic tracks. And I kind of wondered, in both your careers, which one, you know, you've got a day free, someone gets you a plane, where are you going?
Bathurst.
Yeah, I'd probably say the same, or back to the Nordschleife for me.
Okay.
Might need more than a day for Bathurst, but
it's a fast plane, a very fast plane.
Yeah, very, very.
The Nordschleife is an interesting answer. It's definitely an epic track to drive. I had the opportunity to go on one of the tourist runs there. I can see why that would be a fun place to go. And I'm assuming a GT or a streetcar-ish vehicle.
I've only ever driven one track and that was Silverstone, and Abby was in the car with me. So
and I'm alive, and I, you know.
Yeah. So you're driving car as bad as what everyone says it is then, Emma?
No. My husband sometimes gets a bit scared getting in the car with me, but, you know.
I was pleased as punch, quite calm.
You know, you did say I was pretty good as a rookie, so I'm taking that. Driving a Ferrari, yeah, I'm taking that.
It was a Ferrari, was it?
Yes, it was. It was a Ferrari. So partnering F1 was probably the ultimate objective for W Series, but when you look at what W Series has achieved since it launched, there are now a record number of women not only racing but working in motorsports. So where do you think that we go from here? What do we still need to achieve, or what do we need to continue doing to encourage women to get into motorsport?
I think keep on the same path we're kind of on. You know, ultimately, if we keep pushing the boundaries year by year, so for example, W Series with F1 next year, that's a massive step. And you know, that really should, you know, lift and give us all a bit of a platform to the world now. You know, it's a massive audience with F1 followers. So, yeah, I think keep, you know, striving to do new things, you know, be kind of not loud. I think loud's probably visible, be quite visible with what we do. Same with the engineers and the mechanics and marshals and, you know, everyone that's involved, all the kind of female and aspect of that. Just keep doing what we're doing, because I think there's this massive push now and we're going like that, you know, we're going in the right direction.
So I'm going to open up some questions to the panel now, because I know they've all been absolutely buzzing, waiting to ask you questions. So yeah, over to you guys. Matt, do you want to kick us off?
I would love to. Abby, you mentioned earlier, you said you didn't really need that positive female role model growing up to motivate you to succeed in motorsport. Do both of you really consider yourselves that role model for those young girls to look up and go, this girl is out there kicking butt and taking names. I can do that. I want to be her. Do you consider yourself that, filling that role?
Yeah, probably. I've probably only been aware of it recently, maybe a little bit more since kind of my involvement with W Series, because, you know, as an athlete, you're so focused on what you're doing and we live and breathe it. We wake up every morning thinking, right, how can I make myself better on track next time? You know, what do I need to do to improve this and that? And you live in your own little bubble and you forget actually that, and especially, you know, I've been lucky enough to have a bit of a platform from the TV program I was associated with. So that's really lifted me into the spotlight. And I get so many messages off people, you know, dads or mums that are like, you know, my little daughter, she watches you and, you know, plays the Grand Tour all the time. And, you know, I had a little girl message me the other day and she was like, I've got into karting because of you. And, you know, probably maybe as I get a bit older, really, I kind of realise actually what a kind of trailblazer that people might look at me to be, and Sarah.
Yeah, I think exactly the same kind of from my point of view. I think the W Series kind of, you know, was a massive game changer for me, and the respect that the amount of media that it brought with it last year was absolutely amazing. I don't think, you know, many of us actually expected the amount of messages that we kind of got, as you say, from the younger generation or their parents or whatever. So you kind of, from that, I've actually kind of ended up last year coaching quite a few younger girls who were in karting who kind of live around me, which is quite nice. So
I was just going to say, you know, you've both had, you know, quite a good list, shall we say, of really interesting and kind of, I would have assumed, adrenaline filled moments. I was just wondering what for you piles on the pressure, what situation gets your heart rate going and really focusing in? Is it, I mean, Abby, it might be, you know, filming a special with, you know, like the real world race that you guys did on the Grand Tour. Or maybe Sarah, it's, you know, stepping up and knowing that you're really battling for the title in the Ginetta Championship and things are getting quite tight. And I wondered which scenario for you guys, I know they're not directly comparable, but what is it that really pushes you?
I think push is the wrong word. The thing that makes me the most nervous and feel under pressure is usually most times I get in car, because most times I get in car, I've had no testing. It's probably a random championship that I've had the opportunity to do a guest drive in, you know, and it's a new track and that kind of stuff. So I put a lot of pressure on myself in those situations and, you know, haven't, you know, I've been lucky enough to race the bits and bobs that I have, but I don't come from a family where we've got limitless money to do seasons on seasons. You know, even though I've done 18 years of racing, actually over those 18 years, I've only done five full season attacks. So, you know, you've got to take the opportunities when they're there, but it sometimes means for a bit of a stressful year, which you probably see me, or if any of you guys end up watching the first race of W Series, I'm probably going to look a little bit stressed. That I think will be the moment that I feel the most stressed in my 18 years of racing.
I think actually, if I look back at my first W Series race last year, I think I hadn't been that nervous in a very, very long time. Just because, yeah, Formula racing was, I'd done, you know, a year in the Formula BMW car, but that was nothing compared to the F3 car. So yeah, I was a bag of nerves going into the first W Series race. So yeah, you will be a bag of nerves, Abby. But
I already am it.
Sorry, I didn't want this to become a whole kind of like, I don't know, weird gaslighting. Like, oh, it's going to be a bit scary. You want to watch out?
I get a bit scared when I'm starting the F1 game on the first.
I was nervous, but I qualified P3, I think, for my first movie series. So, yeah, you'll be fine.
Blimey.
I'll certainly be nervous for the both of you. I'll be sitting there watching and I'll be like, okay.
It's easy. Why did you do that? I would have done this differently.
I also lost the lead of the race as well, so.
Something I always ask people, I like to ask people, is what has been the absolute worst moment in your careers? And what really stands out? And everyone thinks, oh, that's a really horrible question. But then I'll follow that up with what has been the absolute greatest moment in your career?
That's a good question. I think probably one of the worst, but now I look back, I just laugh about it. But I think one of the worst things that's happened to me is my year I did over at the Nordschleife. I think I was on like lap 6 or something of my first ever test session there. And the mechanics were trying to see how far we could push the car on fuel. And I was coming around towards the start and finish straight where we only just received like, you know, radio so we can talk to each other. And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to come in this lap. So I was approaching the pits, feeling a little bit sick at this point. I was thinking in my head, okay, I'm going to box. And the guys were like, you're going around again. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Oh, no.
I can't do it. And they're like, no, you're going around again. And I was like, if I come in, they're going to kill me. So I went round again and I literally got onto the Nordschleife, hit the bottom of the dip, and that was it. Threw up in my seat. I think that was my worst moment. I look back and laugh about it now because I can. But yeah, I felt sorry for my brother having to get in it afterwards.
Well, I've only just heard this story.
I don't know. that's probably my most embarrassing moment. Other than that, I think, yeah, I mean, it was many years ago now, but the Ginetta Junior Championship will always be special to me. It's where, you know, it was the massive turning point for me. I was never anything special in my go-karting years. Never finished last, but I never finished inside the top 10. So, yeah, Ginetta Junior Championship was the big turning point for me. So that'll be something that I'll never forget.
And any particular moment? One standout moment for you?
I think in terms of my whole motorsport career as a whole, I actually think qualifying third for the first round of the W Series is probably one of my highlights so far. I kind of didn't expect it going into the weekend. So yeah, to come out qualifying P3 was good.
That's amazing. Thank you. And Abby?
So the worst and the best experience I've ever had was all part of the same thing. So 2014, I was racing in the MX5 Super Cup Championship, and it was a family-run team. So it was, I can hear Sarah's of a half. Good up, Carlos. family-run team, and ended up kind of through the year as a normal championship. You have your ups and downs. Got to the last round at Donington Park, and I had a 17-point lead. So really I just needed to kind of finish both races. Didn't do any testing or anything, so I just went straight out in quali and qualified fourth, which wasn't the best, but I just thought, you know, stay out of trouble and it'll be fine. Didn't have any mechanical issues all year, no reliability issues, but then in race one the alternator belt got pulled off, and basically, you know, I had to keep going until everything died. So eventually it got slower and slower, and then my engine gave up. So didn't finish that race. And in that championship, you have what's called drop points. So your lowest basically score race, I think there was two or three races that you're allowed to drop. So that effectively meant that I dropped the points for that and picked up my next worst finish, which was sixth place. But we didn't have a spare engine or anything like that. And from a family run team, like, you know, spending 1500 quid on a secondhand engine was a lot of money. But my dad rang up the scrapyard down the road and was like, have you got any smashed up MX-5s? Because, you know, we need an engine. Thankfully, they did. And we got this smashed up road car delivered to Donington Park. And my dad and my mechanic and my uncle all worked overnight to swap these engines over. And yeah, in my head, I'm thinking, is this engine even going to work? Like, it's been sat in a whatever yard for however long. But yeah, just had to go out and think, you know, I had to start last because I didn't finish the first race. So in my head, there was not a chance that I was going to win this race or the championship. So I just thought, I'm just going to go out and enjoy it. Engine was a little bit slow, but I was kind of so pumped and motivated. I only had one go, and that was to get as far forward as I could just to give myself as much opportunity to score points. So head down, was cracking on. Managed to get up to sixth place, and I could see the second place in the championship just ahead of me. And I'm like, right, perfect. All I need to do now is just finish here. So like, I've done it. Like, you know, I've gone from, you know, thinking, yeah, I've got it, and then engine blows up, I haven't got another engine, right, possibly it's going to happen. Just where I thought, right, okay, this is ace. Someone on track hit me off. So he just nailed me straight off the circuit. Car wouldn't restart for ages. Eventually it did. That's my low point, by the way. The video is actually on YouTube. If you search Abby Eaton Donington Park finale round, like, I'm punching the wheel, I'm screaming, I'm punching the transmission tunnel, my hands were black, like, all this emotion came out of me because I was like, how have I given myself the opportunity to win? And it's some idiots just taking it away from me. got into pit lane because the car was broken. And then eventually the championship coordinator came over and was like, you've done it, you've won. And I'm like, what, how? Like, how have I managed that? And I actually got the fastest lap on the race up to the front. So that's, I won the championship by one point. So that's then leads on to my best memory. So very stressful weekend.
Wow, it was almost like you planned for that answer. That was a brilliant story.
I had another answer, but I was like, this is a good one. So
no, thank you for sharing.
So yeah, that's it.
I'm trying to take that all in. That's like sort of the whole plot of a short film and a novel. That's ridiculous.
Honestly, if you've got 10 minutes, have a little watch, because I'm
actually, the video is like, oh my god, I've like, even just watch, if I watch the video back, even I'm like, oh my god, I feel
so many people messaging me saying, like, one of the guys that I work with, and he's like, you know, 40-year-old proper hard man, and he's like, don't tell anyone, but I cried watching it. Like, it's all this immersion, like, and it took me, like, even now sometimes if I watch it, I'm like, oh my god, it's getting me right in the feels.
Right, to all our listeners, we will link that in the show notes so you can watch it and live and breathe it as well.
Just talk us through the amount of sort of training and everything that you've got to do, because there is an unpopular opinion out there, and it's definitely unpopular in my opinion, is that women don't seem to have the physical or sort of mental aptitude to get into an F1 car. But being at Brands Hatch last year and being there with W Series, and I actually watched a lot of the drivers do a lot of training sort of in between like qualifying in the race, and you're constantly keeping yourself really fit. Just talk us through some of the actual training and fitness regimes that you have to go through to make sure that you're fit enough to get into the car.
I mean, Abby will probably agree, having a sports car background, but the biggest challenge for me making the step into the W Series was a big challenge physically, more on my upper body, actually in my lower back as well, than sports car racing. I would say sports car racing is a dollar compared to Formula racing, to be honest. Yeah, it kind of killed my hands, my shoulders, my back. My neck, in all fairness, was surprisingly quite strong. But Yeah, it is. Formula racing is very challenging for your upper body strength. So for me, it's and still is now heading into next season, is one of the key points for me, as well as strengthening my lower back, ready for another year of beating it up again.
Yeah, so I think I echo what Sarah said. I mean, and you kind of spoiled in GTs that you have air conditioning, you've got, you know, traction control, you've obviously got ABS, you've got all that kind of stuff. Power steering is such a thing that you kind of take for granted, really. You know, I've done no single seater racing ever. So when I first jumped in an F3 car, I knew it was going to be tough, but like, your brain is just, it's crazy actually. When the downforce kicks in, that's when it gets so hard. And you know, there's times where I remember at the W Series assessment at Almeria, there's quite a kind of technical section where it's kind of two or three corners all link, and you kind of link it into one, and you have to make your steering input quite early. And I knew I wanted to go faster. You know, the mental side of things is like, I know what I need to do. I know how to get the time, and I know that the car can do it. You know, I'm not frightened of doing it. I know that it's capable. But you go into the corner, and it's, the faster you go, the more the aero kicks in, which means the steering gets heavier. And I remember on like the last couple of sessions that I went out, I was like, right, I know there's a load of time here. Just send it in as fast as you can, and just grimace and just bear with it for like 5 seconds. Like, you can do it. So yeah, go into the corner. And like, I don't know, Sarah, if you do the same, I was literally like screaming to try and get the energy and the strength to hold on to this wheel. And I went in and I was like, shit, okay, this is as much steering input I can put on. Please be enough to get round, because ultimately if the curve is, you know, takes you off the track, you're going off the track. And thankfully it was enough to get round. But, you know, that was kind of, you know, opened my eyes really, that I was like, you know, I've really got to get stuck in here and make sure that I'm physically strong enough. And, you know, you get away with it in a GT car, but in a Formula car, you know, you have got to be strong enough to do it. And, you know, Formula One has got power steering and stuff like that. So you hear from all the drivers that have been through F2 and eventually into F1 that F1's actually easier to drive physically. It's harder on the neck because you have the higher Gs, but, you know, in terms of steering input and stuff, it's easier to drive. So, yeah, it's just, you've got to prepare as best you can and, you know, train ideally every single day, cardio, strength stuff. And I mean, there's nothing that substitutes being race fit. If we could get in a race car, get in an F3 car every single day, we'd have no issues, but we haven't got that luxury.
That was really interesting hearing about how much the wheel kind of kicks back with the downforce kicking in. I was just wondering what you're most excited about for the next season. Abby, this will be your first. Sarah, you're returning new tracks, obviously, which we're all excited for. But what kind of excites you the most about it? Non-clashes, I'm assuming. But other than that?
Just the fact of getting a full season of racing. And I've not had that since 2016. So to have something I can get properly focused and stuck in on, you know, that's what's got me through this year is having next year to focus on. So I think just having a bit of a routine and having 8 race weekends, hopefully more, is something that I'm super pumped about.
Yeah, I think for me, as most of the girls, just being part of a Formula One weekend, not just for me, for the other girls, the W Series, and for, you know, any younger girls in motorsport.
And so we kind of touched on this next question before with the financial backing, but why do you think we haven't seen a female Formula One driver? I know Danica Patrick was relatively close and raced, was it IndyCar, I believe she raced, but...
And NASCAR.
But why do you think we've yet to see a female Formula One driver make it all the way through? Is it just the financial backing? It's not. And we know it's not talent, because there's plenty abound, but why?
Tough question.
Yeah, that's a crappy question. I realize that.
I think in my opinion, it possibly has something to do with the people that have had an involvement in Formula One in the past, higher up. Yeah, I think that's probably has something to do with it. I mean, I'm not You know, my eyes aren't set on Formula One. My eyes have always been endurance and Le Mans. But you know, as all females, it would be nice to see a female within Formula One. But I think, yeah, I think the people involved in it in the past have had something to do with it.
Yeah, probably I echo that a little bit. I think the more obvious thing is the amount of females in motorsport is just a lot less than males. You look at how many cars are on the grid, and so out of the full world of kings, there's, what is it, how many is it, 20 whatever, 20 something cars on the grid. So you think for those 20 drivers, they should have quite a lot of talent. They should hopefully have a little bit of luck to get there, and also a lot of money. You think for, you know, every 100 guys that are in motorsport, there might be like two, maybe three females, maybe a little bit more than that now. If you times that by 100, you see that there is a lot smaller pool to pick from at the females. And the likelihood is that even the most talented one lacks either a bit of luck or a lot of money. So I just think, you know, combination of what Sarah mentioned and, you know, having the right person at the right time, you know, come around at the right time when the opportunities are there and when the budget is there, etc. It just hasn't happened. And you know, now W Series is around, you know, there is that opportunity to kind of be given that platform and be given that money investment to hopefully make the next step, which I echo what Sarah said earlier on that, you know, I don't think it'll happen in the next 2 years, but I think definitely in the next 10, there'll be a female in F1 that is, you know, competitive.
I suppose that's what's quite exciting for fans as well, isn't it? I mean, Formula One, in my personal opinion, has got a long way to go with its political outlook and the way that it differentiates between different countries who have had various and rather dubious political stances and chooses to race in different parts of the world. But for someone who's looking at that as from a purely motorsport point of view, having W Series as a standalone, you know, championship in its own right, but also thinking this is great because I could be seeing some of these really talented drivers moving into Formula One and representing, you know, the team that I love or the brand that I particularly enjoy. That's got to be quite an exciting thing, I would have thought, for you know, maybe 5 or 6 years' time.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to happen. You know, we're not going to go backwards, that's for sure. I hope we're not. I think probably the long-term effect of W Series is yet to be realised, but you know, I hope it is going to be a positive one. I don't want it to end up being women's motorsport and men's motorsport, because that would just be an absolute atrocity. So yeah, I hope it goes in the right direction.
I think it definitely is, because I mean, like for example, myself, having seen W Series come alive, it certainly inspired me. To further my, I mean, this isn't my sort of career. It's a passion that I have, and I've been sort of writing about motorsport, predominantly Formula One and W Series, for the past 18 months. But over social media, over, you know, Twitter, Facebook, you can see so many more women writing about motorsport. There's more women getting into motorsport in different ways. But I do think that with Formula One, for example, like there's a lack of diversity sort of on the circuit. And I think what W Series is going to, in one swoop, it's essentially just going to resolve that. You know, seeing, you know, 20 girls on the grid in the cars. And I think that's, you know, it's going to provide some really, really great entertainment as well, not just seeing all these women driving, but it's going to provide some really great entertainment, and I'm really, really looking forward to that.
I think next year is going to be a bit more feisty. I don't know why. I think the esports has basically just annoyed a lot of like created enemies in the esports. So I think next
Jenny
year.
Any of my fellow nerds see the W Series Esports League?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I loved it. And the thing was, because you guys actually weren't on track, you were racing through esports, you had Irina Sidorkova, who at the time she was 16, going straight into esports, not having had a huge amount of experience in esports, but she was yet to race a W Series car. She was one of the new entrants for 2020. she was just going for it. And everyone, like, especially as a fan watching for it, I was thinking, oh my God, if she can do this on like esports, what is she going to be able to do on the circuit? She's now 17. I think she's going to be a real sort of force to be reckoned with on the circuit.
Yeah, esports is just...
Tell me what you think, go on.
I knew this was coming.
I've grown up without all of these esports, and I'm not really a massive fan. Obviously, most of us drivers now use simulators just to learn tracks, and that is predominantly what we use it for. Most of us, I mean, we're always going to try and chase to want to be the fastest, but then we just get annoyed and probably punch the steering wheel and walk away. I think fair play if Ira does manage to convert that into being quick on track. But I think, you know, the only person or the people that managed to do that last year was Baitska and Jamie. Sometimes Alice, if she had the right head on. I think fair play to her if she manages to, but it will definitely be interesting to see of the new girls who will actually be up there. But I think from the girls from last year, that will definitely be a fight in itself, because I think the top eight last year were pretty close. A few of us had some bad luck, but I think, yeah, it's definitely going to be very tough.
I've got a question, because I know we're running out of time, but... first half of the question is, will you join us this time next year for another interview and follow up on how your season has gone?
Sure. That's one nod.
Brilliant. Okay, and the second one is, what are you going to tell us have been the highlights of your year?
What's been the highlight of the year?
So what are you hoping to achieve in the next year?
In the next year, in the W Series, for the W Series itself, I'm chasing a top five for sure. It's going to be tough. Yeah, I'm definitely chasing a top five, and I got very close to being on the podium. So, to be on the podium is the goal for me.
Yeah, and I'd just like to try and get through to second year of W Series. You know, ultimately, I am going to be learning on the job next year, so I'm not expecting too much from myself. If I can get quicker each time I go out and improve on certain things, then, you know, that's all I want. But it's a two-year plan, really, that I've got set in my head. But if I can surprise myself and do better than that, then yes, that would be fantastic. But yeah, just want to get through to 2022 of W Series.
I've got one more personal question for each of you, and then I've got one for both of you. I'm going to start off with you, Sarah. You already answered one of my questions. You were quoted way back in the day in 2009 saying that touring cars were still more appealing to you than F1. Is that still kind of holding true with what you were saying earlier?
Yeah, I think so. I've definitely always been more of a sports car girl. I mean, if you took F1 back to, you know, 2008, 2007, you know, previous to that, it was proper cars, as I call them. These days, I think there's way too much technology involved. So, definitely sports cars for me.
Spicy takes with Sarah Moore there. Love that. And Abby, your question, you had listed Monza on your wish list and talking about, you know, the brands that are out there, celebrating the brands, people following the brands. A lot of people may not remember or know that you won Monza in a Ferrari in 2017. Did you feel like you kind of got almost slighted by the quote-unquote Tifosi and the Ferrari fans out there for not coming out in droves and celebrating that win, that triumph there for you?
It was a crazy race weekend for me. It was basically a random opportunity to race in GT3, and you know, the next closest thing I'd driven kind of speed wise was like 300 brake less. So and I'd never driven at Monza either. So I was totally out of my comfort zone, and that was basically how I was then is what I'm going to be like at the first round of the W Series. Managed to win the class, which was fantastic. And yeah, to do it obviously at the home of Ferrari, really, in an awesome 488 GC3 car was something really special. So yeah, at least if Monza is on the list of tracks that we're going to go to next year, at least I know where I'm going around there.
Do they speak to you in Italian when you're doing these kind of sort of like odd gigs for different teams? Do they come on the radio and start in Italian and then go, oh no, this is not going to work at all?
They, you know, when they're speaking to us on the radio and stuff, they do you know, talking English, but it has got a very, very strong Italian accent attached to it. And sometimes I'm on the radio like, oh, I think he said that. but obviously when they're conversing with each other, they're in proper full-on Italian. So I pick up languages quite quickly, which is a good thing. So you can kind of get the gist about, you know, what's going on. But yeah, thankfully I didn't have to worry about it too much while I was driving.
Abby Eaton, like Nico Hulkenberg, only she...
Oh, we lost him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Abby Eaton, like Nico Hulkenberg, only better. She actually delivers the goods when she shows up.
Mate, we've just lost ourselves an interview with Hulkenberg. What are you doing? What are you saying?
So my last question,
I don't see that as a loss, Will. It'll be all right.
My last question for both of you is, you both come from motor racing families. Sarah, your family has the Tickworth. I just lost my notes.
Talkworth.
Dyslexia. It's a horrible disease. And Abby, of course, there was your father with the issues that came through there. With your drive motivation to succeed, is it kind of, you know, for Sarah, is it just beating the brothers and letting them know that you're nothing, I got this? And is it kind of ingrained in you early that, you know, the petrol flows through your veins and you're almost destined to be there? Or is it something that just appeals naturally and you go, that's where I'm planting my flag, this is what I'm going to do, this is who I am?
I think as most people that know me or follow me know, I was born, you know, into a motorsport family. My dad used to race himself. So yeah, it's something, it's all I've known my whole life, to be honest. I mean, you know, like most females, that I grew up with through school, I played football. I played pretty much every sport going, through school. But when I got to the age of 16, it was either football or racing. And racing was more, for me, that's what I wanted to do at that point. So, yeah, I kind of stuck with it from there. And yeah, I mean, it was always a battle for me against my brother, against my older brother for sure. But for me, nowadays, it sounds cheesy, but it's someone that I look up to. So I'm lucky to have him.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, my sister definitely doesn't think about me like that.
Yeah, for me, it's just a personal thing. You know, it's a new challenge. And I think probably through my full racing career, I've kind of had little opportunities here and there, but I've never really been given a proper break racing wise. And, you know, maybe it's come a bit too late. I'm 28. So, you know, I would have preferred to have had this like era, you know, 16 years old. What a fantastic opportunity for her. And she's going to have a massively amazing career ahead. So, I almost kind of view W Series really like a, you know, the last big opportunity that is likely to come my way. And, you know, I'm just going to give it my all and just try and do as best I can do. You know, I've not got the best kind of preparation beforehand in terms of actually getting my bum in one of the F3 cars and testing. But my focus next year is just to get seat time, learn what I need to do, and then capitalize the year after. Easy, isn't it?
Easy. Simple, straightforward. We're all doing it next weekend. Have we not told you?
I was going to say, there's a job here at the Formula Nerds if you want it afterwards.
Yeah.
Anytime.
The pay is crap, but the people are fun.
Cheers, Matt.
He really sold it well there. Fantastic.
Speak to you after. Speak to you after the call about that one. Well, thank you very much for coming along. It's been incredible. Yeah. Thank you. Do you want to share your socials, where we can find you, where people can get to know a bit more about you, follow you, etc.?
If I can remember mine. I think most of my tags are Sarah Moore Racing, to be fair. So, or S Moore 26. Give us a follow.
44.
Say that one more time, Abby.
44, by the way, is because my dad's race number was 44, not because of Lewis Hamilton.
I can tell.
You're not a Lewis Hamilton fan, no?
I think he's an incredible driver.
Nice. That's the diplomatic answer we were looking for.
I think that was a weird opinion.
That was a jazz interview answer, in that it's not what's said, it's the notes that weren't played.
Well, a daddy for it as well. cool. Okay.
Good. All right, I'm going to have a beer.
Bailey's?
It's like a chocolate liqueur. I finished my vodka, so...
Had a girl. Yes.
Come on every week. She drinks on the podcast.
It was supposed to be my wedding weekend. It's like a weekend off.
Sports Social Podcast Network.